Hi, listening friend. It's Wednesday, October 16th, 2013. All of you that were tuned in yesterday, I'm convinced will be listening for part two of our time with Roger Hong, author of this new book titled Chasing God, Finding Faith. Today and yesterday's interview is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Jump right in, Jason.
Well, if you were tuned in yesterday, you got to hear about this amazing story, amazing work that God's doing through Roger Hahn in the San Francisco area. He's the pastor of the San Francisco Worship Center, and he's also the founder of City Impact Ministries and the author of a great new book called Chasing God. In fact, one of the reviews I read earlier today says that it's in the same vein as Radical by David Platt and Crazy Love by Francis Chan, that it's a book that every Christian needs to read, because we need to realize, as Roger shared yesterday, that not only are we chasing after God, but God is chasing after us. And Roger, it's so good to have you on today's edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Mark and Jason, for having me at your Great News Radio.
And you're being very humble about this. You've had this special calling on your life for many years, as you mentioned in yesterday's broadcast, coming to Christ around the age of 27 through a TV evangelist. Your wife had come to Christ about a year earlier, and you saw changes in her. In fact, you almost got a little jealous because she had this intimate relationship with this God, with this Jesus, that was almost competing for your attention or your affections. But as you came to know Christ and His love, it dramatically impacted you, and you've been serving together. But you mentioned that there's been like 7,000 various volunteers, usually each and every year, from many, many churches that are a big part of this ministry work. And so you're not taking any of the credit. You're giving God the glory. And yet it's through all these different people representing various churches that are helping be the hands, the feet, the heart to help all these people in these 586 apartment buildings in this one square mile that you're hoping to establish churches in all these buildings. It's quite the undertaking. And so we want to hear about some of the supernatural provisions that God has made through these years and a little more of your story. So I know you have lots of stories to tell and share with our radio listeners.
Yes. Looking back the last 29 years, the ministry that God has entrusted into our hands, 70% of the time has been hard. The other 30% has been difficult.
Hard and difficult.
You know, yes, when you read the book Chasing God, we did not want to highlight too much on the miracles and the success and the accomplishment. It's really about how God restores someone who was broken and then use him to do his work within, you know, my capacity. I think we're in a culture that we like to compare ourselves to others. I think God has something very special for each one of us. And coming into this work, I know that God has done a lot. We did pray, we fasted, but we're no more spiritual than any average Christian, because we're average common people. We're just two foreigners that came to America at a very young age and came to know the Lord through American TV evangelists, and then God then placed us in a community that is so chaotic and it's dangerous and on it goes. But the fact is, He's been with us every step of the way. And as we look back, you know, this year, last year, the year before, we average about 7,000 or more volunteers, and mostly believers coming from different churches, from Menlo Park, from Alamo, from the South Bay, East Bay, North Bay, people that came to help us. We only have about 20 full-time staff, but in a community like this, it's almost unreal because we're outnumbered. But when these people came to work and help us, they begin to take on their responsibility and their leadership, going into the buildings and help us with the school, the rescue mission, the food bank, the thrift store, the hot meal delivery, and then into the building. I find that they have more than what I can do, because these are very educated believers. That they have, you know, they're professionals, they're just on fire for God. And what happens after serving with us for a time, when they go back to their community, they begin to do something radical in their own churches as well. So it's just God is just using this work to just more like a spark that just can create some kind of a stirring within the hearts of these thousands of believers. And that's also one consistent, urgent prayer between my wife and I. We pray and ask God if it's possible that in our lifetime, that through the spark that He's given us in the city area, that it would be a spark to ignite a spiritual awakening in the city of San Francisco, and that would be our wish.
I thought of two things as you shared. I don't know the exact word you used. You said like 70% of the ministry has been tough and the other 30% has been hard. And I kind of laughed and I thought of something that Jason has said many times, because he'll counsel people or somebody will say, Jason, I feel called to the ministry. And sometimes they're under the illusion that everything is easy and you sit around and you just pray and it's kumbaya and there's God all over it and it's just easy and lovely and fun. But ministry many times is hard when you're serving and you're poured out and it's tough and it's not easy. But nonetheless, God can equip you and supply all your needs. But it's just not a fun, easy thing. And I think that's what you're sharing, is that, Mark, many times it is very hard. I'm overwhelmed. I'm at wit's end. But God comes through. So it's still worthwhile, but it's not always easy, right?
No, it's not at all. The environment that we're in is different than a normal mega church or a church that you have people that are wealthy, they are normal. You know, we did a demolition for probably five different locations. You know, I don't know how many dumpsters we called in, but that was all physical work. And then going to the buildings, you know, one guy came to me one time. He said, you know, I can't sleep at night. I said, what's going on? Most people cannot sleep in the Tenderloin just because of the activities throughout the night. They don't have one lock. They have 5 to 7, 8 different locks on the door just to stop people from breaking in. And most of them just have one room, and it's just very difficult. I don't even think I can survive living in the area in that kind of studio for more than 2 weeks. But anyway, this guy came, and so I said, what's going on? He said, I have so many mice running around, crawling, and I just can't go to bed. I can't sleep. They bug me. Do you have any mouse traps? I said, I do, because that was one of my profession ever since I was called to the Tenderloin. They set up mouse traps. I gave him a few, and then he came back the next day. He said, I didn't sleep because I had to reset the traps. I said, well, how many did you kill? He said, I terminated probably over 20 of them in just one single night. And then you have another time where we went to visit this lady, and after visit her several times, she couldn't see too well with her eyes, but after a while, she fell in love with my wife, and she said, you know, I want to bless you with a pretty dress that I kept in my closet. So she walked over and picked up this dress and handed it over to my wife, and we couldn't believe it. It was a white dress, kind of dirty, but it was filled with hundreds of cockroaches on that dress, but you know, she didn't know. So we're dealing with people like that, and it's more than just preaching to them. You know, Mark, sometimes it's very difficult when you see the condition of these folks, and they're no different than me. Why am I so blessed? Why do they get to be in a situation like that? And you can't just preach the gospel. You have to do everything. It has to be holistic. You have to be there, clean up the apartment. You have to bring food to them, listen to the story. How did they end up in a place like that? So, you know, in the beginning of the work, I thought I'd just tell them about God and God will take care of the rest. But then there was a day when I was so empty. I said, God, I'm doing your work. Why am I so empty? And God said, because you're not doing the work. You just want to tell them. Would you look into their hearts and listen to them? So my work up to this point, it's never about here's a hot meal, here's your education, here's your clothing, just go away. We look into their lives, and we want to do everything we can to help them. And And that's what this work is all about.
Yeah, when I was watching one of the videos from your ministry, the video was describing these grace teams that go in and they just say, what do you need? What is it that we can do door to door in these 586 apartment buildings, 37,000 people? And what do you need? With no strings attached, no gospel, no, not just what do you need? And then I think that then is there a prayer request? And then they take them back to these prayer teams, is my understanding. And how can we pray for you? And how have you seen those stories change people's lives?
So many of them, we keep track. You know, a young man, he's a software, software writer, designer. He put together a software just for the kind of work that we do. All the volunteers will log on and just to type up what they just experienced for the day. So we keep track of everything. There's just so many. We have people that have been isolated, a blind man that he just sits in there all day long. I mean, and so we send teams in there to help him. We clean up his apartment, and we're sending teams, individuals to these places, and then we'll actually take them out to the fine dining or to a fast food place and just to listen to their hearts. We try to break down the isolation and allow them to just be human again, to be able to carry conversation. So we have stories every day. It's not a year ago, 5 years ago, 2 days ago, my son and several volunteers went to a building to track down, because as he was driving by the day before, he saw a very strong man grab a young lady and just took her right into the building. So the following day, he brought 5 to 6 strong men, Christians. We went into the building, and after, you know, about an hour or so, he was able to track down the lady. So there's some stuff going on in there. The four very strong drug dealers, they're harassing the residents. They're using the ladies in the building for trafficking. They have a total control of that place. So we find things out in these buildings, and our job is to intervene, not with violence, but to pray and ask God to break down the demonic stronghold, but also be in relationship with these people and to set them free. You know, that particular lady actually told my son that she has a baby that she just left it in the hospital, because she said, if I bring that baby home and with these people harassing me, that the baby wasn't going to die anyway. So she just kind of walked away. And then yesterday, a mom with a baby and another lady got into a big argument in front of the rescue mission dining room. So they started punching each other. They dropped a baby on the concrete sidewalk, and the baby was in a semi-coma, so we had to call the ambulance. The police show up. In the meantime, you have homeless in our cafe, and then you have medical and dental. I mean, it's just a very chaotic environment. You know, 29 years later, it's not that we haven't done our job correctly. It's just the demand is so high, and there's just so much stuff going on. And one of my daughters just adopted a girl that was coming to our school, and the mom called from Oakland. You know, the girl would take Bart to San Francisco and attend our school, but she called one day and said, you know, I just don't want her to come home anymore, because, you know, I don't want her. So after my daughter prayed for a couple of months and, you know, trying to look for a place for this little girl, and eventually God said, there's no one else, you're the one. So she adopted this little girl, and now she's also fostered another little boy where the mom is having problems with drugs. And so we're doing as much as we can, and God knows, and he sends us all these people to help us as well. And at the end of the day, we want to make sure that everybody knows that it's not about the city impact. It's not about me. I will pass on sooner or later. But there is a community in every city of America. If one person will take hold of God, just go in. I know we need fundraising. I know we need a special calling. I know there's a lot of stuff we need to prepare. But sometimes it's just to go in cold turkey and let God be the one to direct your path. And that's kind of the case also in the Word of God as well. So.
On the line right now, we have Roger Juan, who serves as the pastor of San Francisco Worship Center, and he's the founder of City Impact Ministries. And he's also the author of a great new book called Chasing God, where he talks about the stories of his faith journey as he was chasing God, and God was chasing him and led him to serve in this place called the Tenderloin District in San Francisco. Roger, in the book, you talk about the American dream. And you say when you came to this country, the American dream was something that you were looking forward to or looking to. And it says a real profound thing. You said that you found only loneliness and solitude. And because of that, in this Tenderloin District, you want to bring this thing you call a community and marriage. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I came here. I was 15. And then, you know, when you're an immigrant in a country like this and everybody speaks well of America, And so you say, well, I'm going to go after the American dream. But to be honest with you, that is just a terminology for me. What is that? I have no relatives, no friends, and I didn't even know that having a home and a car and, you know, that was the American dream. I just knew I was in a different country. You know, I would just feel with loneliness, feel with lots of anger towards my parents and hate it every day. So that was kind of my life. Didn't know that I had no direction, nowhere to go. You know, that's when I left home and kind of worked hard on myself and worked hard to just to survive from one day to the next. Of course, when I met my wife, she was the one that restored me all these years. She taught me that it's important to celebrate your birthday. It's important to celebrate Thanksgiving, Christmas, all the holidays, and it's important to attend family activities and all those things didn't mean anything to me. Mm. I didn't even know how to engage. So the book, Chasing God, is about how God restored a broken life. You know, if you look at my life and just a patchwork, I missed stages of my life. You know, no infrastructure and no way to, I wasn't able to carry a normal conversation, but God just restored me over the years. So I, when I think back, I don't think that I've done anything. I think God has done everything. I just open the door, people come in, I just be faithful. I don't have any gifts that, you know, that I can brag about. I have nothing. I just want to be faithful. Serving God and chasing God really is not about emotions or feelings. And just, you just got to be there, and God himself would be there.
About a year or more so ago, Francis Chan was moving down to the area, and you invited him in to pray for him and to spend some time with him. And how has that impacted your guys' ministry?
Well, about a year and a half ago, my son invited him to come, and my son wanted me to pray together with Francis just to bless him because he's in the area. I asked my son, I said, you know, I pray with everybody, but who's Francis Chan? And he said, Dad, he's a well-known Christian leader in the country. I said, well, okay, that's fine. Just bring, you know, just call him in. So he came, we pray, we talk, and then he fell in love with the community. He fell in love with, you know, the family, and he started coming over. All he wanted to do together with his family is to serve. So they would go into the buildings and pray with people, read scriptures, talk to them, have conversation with them. And then he will take them out, his wife will take them out, these individuals, to a nearby restaurant, and, you know, just to minister to them. Everything was one-on-one. It wasn't about making a splash, you know, he has another new ministry, and that's just who they were. So they stayed with us for a year, just day in, day out, laboring together with us. And it brought some stirring within the Christian community. That, you know, people came. You know, sad to say, most of them came, they want to be with him. They didn't want to do the work.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, he's a very, you can approach him very easily. But he wanted to make sure that he was there to do the work. So people would show up, they couldn't find him because, well, he was always in the buildings.
Thank you, God, for that. And thank you, God, for Roger. The ministry is called sfcityimpact.com. You can find out more at sfcityimpact.com. The book is called Chasing God. You can purchase that at davidccook.com, davidccook.com. In fact, right now, the fifth caller at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777 will get a copy of this book, Chasing God. Thank you, Roger, for being available. We're going to be praying you up. There's a couple life lessons that I've drawn from this conversation these past 2 days is to step out and do something, even if it's just spending a little time getting to know the person, having a listening ear, or taking them out to eat, just treating them like you would want to be treated, or treat them like family, like how God would love to love on them and care for them. And then just that ministry is not always easy, that it is tough, that it is draining at times, but we serve a great God that can equip us. And may you be equipped in the days ahead. And I pray that our listeners will, when they think about Chasing God, this book, maybe from reading it, or think about this ministry that you're having in San Francisco and in this Tenderloin area, that they'll oftentimes think and pray for you so that you'll have the strength to continue on.
Thank you, Mark and Jason. It's an honor to be able to spend some time with you yesterday and today at the Great News Radio. And I just want to read a quick scripture to all the listeners. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. That would be my encouragement.
Roger, just thank you from my heart to yours. Thank you for reminding us that we are all God's children, that none of us are different or should be divided from each other or from Him.
Thank you.
The book is called Chasing God, davidccook.com. Well, dear brother, thank you for proving faithful, giving God the glory, attributing the successes to others. And may you, during those tough and difficult times, always have in that mindset of yours that, you know, you're doing it for our King that's worthy of all of our efforts, and may He sustain you in the days ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity, Mark and Jason. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, Roger. It's been a real blessing to talk to you today.
Thank you. God bless you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.